Taking our Bibles tonight, turning to the first book, the Bible, book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Begin to read there at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 7. Begin to read at verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. And the Lord shut them in. Ending our reading at verse 16. Knowing God will bless the word read to your hearts for his own dear name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Again, taking a few moments to still our own hearts to come to God's word here tonight. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again, in the peerless and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach Thee. We thank Thee for that name that's high above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for He who is the Savior of sinners. Thank Thee for He who was the friend of sinners. Thank Thee for He who commended this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Commended this world to bring man and woman from darkness to light, and from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Father, we pray to Thee now. We pray, O God, that Thou would come in a very special way into this meeting. And Lord, I do not know the congregation, but Thou knowest them. And Thou knowest, as Thy word tells us, the Lord knowest them that are His. And therefore, Lord, in this meeting Thou knowest those that as yet are not Yours. We pray, O God, tonight in Jesus' name, pleading all the merits and the value of the blood, crying that in this service Thou would save sinners, bring men and women and young people to Christ, begin men a journey towards heaven and home. May sinners leave this place, may men and women leave this place, knowing that they have sins forgiven, and they have peace with God through the blood of the cross. And to this end, Father, I confess my inadequacy, complete helplessness to deal with the moments that are before me. And I pray, O God in heaven, that Thou would empty me of self and sin and wash me in Jesus' blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and power, and let Christ be glorified. Let the kingdom of God be extended, and let a work be done this night that will cause the church in earth and heaven to rejoice, and cause rejoicing and glory among in the presence of the angels over sinners being converted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Lord was stating here the two ends which await all mankind. Everyone in this world tonight will either go away to everlasting punishment, or they'll enter in to life eternal. Everyone in Kilkeel tonight will either go away to everlasting punishment or enter in to life eternal. Let me bring it down further. Everyone in this meeting will one day either go away to everlasting punishment or enter in to life eternal. Because Jesus said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The Lord was speaking in Matthew 25 of the day when all men would be appointed their everlasting home. It was the day of judgment. But tonight I want to look at a day right here in the book of Genesis when the Lord did something and all but eight people on the face of this earth went away to everlasting punishment. When God did something, and all but eight people on this planet went away to begin their eternity of everlasting punishment. And what did He do? He closed a door. And to them that were outside, it was closed forever. The narrative that I have read tonight is one that I know is familiar to you all here. In fact, I would say if you go down into the town tonight and you speak to people about knowing the ark, they may not know the full ins and outs of the story, as we put it. But I would say they'll know something of knowing the ark. It was a day like none other from the foundation of the world. It's a day that tells us many things about the character of God. It tells us what God thinks about sin. It tells us, dear unsaved in this meeting, that God knows all about your sin. Look with me where we looked this morning at Genesis 6 verse 5. And there we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth of me that I have made them." My dear friend, God knew all about their sin. And dear sinner in the meeting tonight, God knows all about yours. And as this meeting continues, your sin and your rebellion, it rises heavenward. You say, "Is that right?" Yes, it's right. Jonah, chapter 1, God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, that wicked city, for their sin has come up before me." Dear unsaved in this meeting, when you consider that, it matters not what people think of you. You ought to tremble at what God thinks. that right now in a gospel service in the presence of God, your sin ascends heavenward. Your Christ rejection continually rises before the God of heaven, the God who made you, the God who granted you breath, the God who brought you into this world. Your sin goes up before Him. Such was the situation before us in Genesis chapter 6. But verse 8 of chapter 6 says this: But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In this world of wickedness, God has reached a man. Grace has reached him. Grace has saved him and brought him out of this evil world. And now the Lord tells His servant Noah what He's going to do. Judgment is on His way. It has been decreed by God upon the world for its sin. In chapter 6 from 14 to 22 we read of the instruction that God gave Noah. He told him to build an ark and gives him the instructions about the size and how to build it. The verse 22 tells us this: Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And now it's time to enter the ark, friend. And in Genesis 7 verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house, into the ark. And with Noah, his wife, and his family, in the ark. Our text is verse 16. And there the Bible tells us, And the Lord shut him in. And I want to speak tonight on what happened in this world. What were the results of the night that God closed the door? What were the results the night God closed the door? And the first thing I want to see is that in this closed door there was security. There was security for those that were inside. You see, those that were in the ark were closed into the divine presence. Look at chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. The Lord did not say to Noah, Noah, go into that ark. He said, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. The Lord was bidding Noah to come to where he was, to come into the presence of God, to come into where God was. And when God closed that door, friend, in this meeting, God closed Noah and his family into the divine presence. They were shut in with God. They were shut in with God. But when you see someone else, they weren't only shut into the divine presence, they were closed into the divine refuge. I know a lot of people, and I do it, and we all do it, and that's fine. We talk about Noah's ark, and that's fine. But friend, that was God's ark. That was God's ark. And God used Noah to build it, but the plan was God's. The whole direction was from God. And the point is this, that Noah found refuge from the coming judgment. And where God provideth. Noah found refuge from the coming judgment in that which God provided. The sinner, friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're going to find refuge from judgment, if you're going to find refuge from the day of reckoning that is coming for your sin, you're going to find it where God provided it. Or you're not going to find it at all. You're not going to find it at all. You either find it where God points you in this book, or you won't find it at all. You see, in verse 14 of chapter 6, we read, The Lord said to Noah, Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rim shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch, it's from the Hebrew word kaphir. It's translated 70 times in the Old Testament to make atonement, to cover. And sinner, the Lord's people in this meeting understand that. Because they know that there is only refuge in Christ. There's only refuge from wrath under the blood of atonement. We've been singing about it tonight. You've been urged from the very beginning of this meeting to step out in the promise and get under the blood. And get under the blood. And friend, the point is this. Again, it's pointing you that refuge is only found where God points you. It's only found under the blood. You see, the ark, and we don't have time to get into it, but it was a great type, a great Old Testament type of Christ. You see, sinner friend, there was only one way into this ark. God said to Noah there in verse 16, He said, the door. There's one door, there's one way in. And as we've said, the ark was provided by God for refuge, from the wrath for sin, from divine judgment, from a sin-hating God. Into that ark, sinners were invited to come. Into that ark for refuge, into safety, into a place of absolute security. And my friend, tonight, unsaved, you will only find that in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something else, that the wrath, that the judgment in this world fell on the ark. Because the ark was there. It bore it. God made it in such a way that it sustained it until the storm was finished. It all points to the cross, and all that were in that ark were safe. All that were in the ark were safe. And our blessed Savior, in the body prepared Him, bore our sins in His own body to the tree, until the outpouring of divine wrath was finished. And up from the darkness of Calvary there arose a cry, finished. Finished. When Christ drank damnation dry. And sinner friend, tonight let me repeat this. If you don't find refuge in Christ, you won't find it at all. You won't find it anywhere else. When God closed that door, all in His presence were safe. Because they had sought refuge in where God provided. But I want you to notice something else. They weren't only closed into the divine presence, Noah and his family, and into divine refuge. They were closed into divine communion with God. And again, unsaved, you know nothing of it. You know nothing of this communion. Turn with me to chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Genesis. And there we read in verse 15, And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Go forth of the ark. You see, those that seek refuge, there's communion with God. In that ark, Noah communed with God. And God directs his servant, and leads him, and tells him now to go forth of the ark. The judgment's passed. But it was in the ark, friend. It was in the ark that the communion with God was. It wasn't outside it. Let me just say this. Communion with God is found alone in Christ. It's not found by attending the Free Presbyterian Church. Though we thank God for the message of the Free Church. But going to church or any church does not give a man communion with God. Communion with God is through Christ. And unsaved in this meeting, again, let me say it. If you don't find communion with God in Christ, you won't find it anywhere else. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Those were the securities that resulted when God closed the door. But what about the consequences? What about the consequences? Because I've already said, not everybody entered into that ark. Only 8 people did. In the face of the world. And there were consequences when God closed that door. And one of them was this. There was no more sermons. No more preaching for them. See, we live in a day when men do not like preaching. So much of professing Christendom does not want to hear preaching. But when God closed that door, it was one of the judgments in this world. God withdrew His preacher. He took away His preacher. What privileges they'd spurned. Noah, that man of God that grace had reached. And 2 Peter 2 verse 5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His name means rest. 120 years he preached. 120 years he preached as he built that ark. God sent the world a preacher. Just as God sent Nineveh a preacher, He sent Jonah. Just as God sent a preacher into Ephesus when He sent the Apostle Paul. My dear friend, how many preachers has God sent to you? Some of you maybe years and years. Your Sunday school teacher preached to you. Grandparent now in the glory preached to you. ministers have preached to you. Umpteen missions you've been preached to. Preacher after preacher after preacher. Don't you see what God was doing? He was doing for you what He did for Nineveh. He was doing for you what He did in Jonah's day. He was doing for you what He did in Noah's day. He sent you a preacher, a workmate. Somebody stood at the bench beside you and they told you of Christ. Maybe stuttering as they tried to get it out. God was sending you a preacher, sinner. And God sent the world in Noah's day a preacher. Preacher of righteousness. 120 years he preached until God withdrew the preacher. Until God withdrew the preacher. No more sermons. No more sermons for that world. No more sermons for those Christ rejectors. And that's what they were. That's what they were. God closed that door, friend. They had heard their last sermon. He sent a preacher until the day God said, come in to the ark, Noah. No more preaching. 120 years you've preached. Come into the ark. God withdrew His preacher. Never again would they hear of Christ. Never again would they hear of the promised seed that would bruise the serpent's head. And sinner friend, tonight in this meeting, if this were to be your last sermon, never again will you hear, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever of the people of Coquille that believeth in Him should not have or should have everlasting life. No more preaching. No more preaching. But it signified something else. It signified no more opportunity for communion with God on earth. No more opportunity of communion with God. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew 24. And here's the greatest preacher of them all. And we were just saying this afternoon as we were talking, Judas heard the greatest preacher of them all. He heard the Savior preach. He heard the Savior pray. He saw His miracles. He saw Christ in the flesh walk through this world, forgive sins, heal men, save men. And Judas went to hell. And here in Matthew 25 or 24, the Christ preaching, and He says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. Sinner, in the very next portion of Matthew 25, Christ spoke of that text I gave you at the beginning. They shall go away. And it says there in verse 39 of Matthew 24, and knew not. You know what that means? It doesn't mean they weren't warned. It doesn't mean they didn't know. It took them by surprise for this reason. They didn't believe the preacher. They didn't believe the preacher. He told them that my spirit shall not always strive with man. He told them that judgment was on its way. They didn't believe God's word. And the Lord Jesus says, after Noah preached 120 years, the flood came and took them all away. Came and took them all away. God said, no more preaching, no more sermons, until the flood came. Took them all away. As again I've said, the very setting in Genesis 6 was, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's the very setting of it. Here were a people who never repented. Noah preached to them. And sinner friend, let's be honest tonight in the meeting. We're before God. And the reason that you're not saved, it's not that you don't know how to get saved. You can't go to this congregation and not know how to get saved. Your life brought you into a town that can kill and give you all the privileges of having gospel preaching. Many of God's people live in this town, talk to you. The reason you're not saved is not that you don't want or don't know how to be saved. Let's be honest, it's that you don't want to be saved. Because you want your sin. And you don't want Christ. Maybe you say, why did those men just not go into the ark? Were they mad? They didn't go into that ark, friend, for the same reason you don't come to Christ. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They knew if they came to Christ, the sin had to go. Sinner friend, tonight in this meeting, what is holding you back? Your death friend finds you out of Christ, finds you in your sin, you will be among the multitude that the Son of God said would go away into everlasting punishment. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Jesus said the flood came and it took them all away. Took them all away. But what was the final consequence I want to look at was that no more opportunity of ever being in heaven. You see, the Bible asks a question in Job 14 that says, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. Then it says this, and where is he? Where is he? Where did the flood take them, friend? Where did the flood take them? Let's look with me at Luke chapter 17. Again, the Savior's preaching. Luke 17. But he adds something here that wasn't added in Matthew's account. Luke 17, verse 26. Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. But then, get it? The Lord then draws a parallel. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. What were they all doing? They were all living as if they were going to live forever. Jesus said, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. My dear friend, the end of those in Noah's day was the end of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were cast down to hell. The flood came. The fire came. They were all destroyed. In Noah's day, they didn't listen to the preacher. But how awful. How absolutely awful if in Colkill and Mourne Free Presbyterian Church there was another likewise to be added to Noah's day, to the Sodomite day, and then likewise those that died in Mourne went away and destroyed them all, cast away from Christ. Where are they, friend? We followed them from Genesis. Let's go to the book of Jude. Because here we see them all again. The book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 7. Even the Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering, for me suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The flood came, took them all away to eternal fire. And right now, as this meeting continues, they're there. And the Lord says, they're set forth as an example, sinner. Look at that verse 7. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. My friend, it's an example God is telling you tonight in this meeting you do not want to follow. You want to avoid this example. The flood came. Fire and brimstone came. Likewise. Friend, see what God's saying to you. They were took away as an example. The Holy Book now tells us right at this moment they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire from a sin-hating God whom your sin has gone up to as this meeting proceeds. And the Lord's telling you, here's an example you don't want to follow. Here's an example you don't want to follow. The flood came, destroyed them all. Back to where it started. These shall go away. Everyone in this meeting, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Or the righteous into life eternal. The righteous, those who are saved. Those who have fled for refuge, found alone in Christ. You see in this portion what God thinks of sin. But friend, we also see that God provides a way of salvation, a way of refuge. And again tonight, sinner, He points you to His Son, because your sin will be dealt with either at God's Christ cross or by yourself as you suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. The Bible's clear, for you as one or the other. The Lord says there's an example you do not want to be following. You don't want to be following it. In Noah's day, 8 people entered into that ark. And by that door, sinner, tonight Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But then it's got to be goodbye, sin. It's got to go. Repentance towards God, a turning from it, realizing that your sin's an attack upon the very God that made you. Your sin's an attack upon His person, His nature, His mercy, His goodness, His love, and His justice. And friend, it's goodbye sin. There's a price to becoming a Christian. But friend, there's a far greater price if you don't. God has made a way of escape. Look at the text at the back of this meeting. 2 of them. Time is short. Prepare to meet thy God. Because meet God you will. Friend, you need to meet Him in Christ. You need to meet Him in Christ because the way of refuge, Christ took our humanity. And a body prepared for Him to put away sin by His death on the cross. Sinner friend, every step Christ took in life, He took it for sinners. He gave an obedience to that law that you and I have broken time without number. And then He went to the cross of Calvary. And in the darkness of Golgotha, He paid the price. He satisfied divine justice. He turned away divine wrath. He died the just one. For us the unjust. That He might bring us to God. That we might enter into life eternal. Friend, communion with God tonight through His blood. Through His death. He grants this. He tells you to flee. Paul spoke to the Hebrews as a group of people and they'd fled to Christ as an anchor of the soul. You don't need me to come to Kilkeel to tell people what an anchor is.
holds that which is attached to it through storm and wind and tide. And sinner friend, what greater storm are you ever going to meet than the day it's goodbye all around you? You go out to meet God without an anchor for the soul. You need to get to that anchor. You need to get to Christ. Because Christ holds those that are anchored in Him. He holds them in life. And He holds them in death. He holds them forevermore. Sinner, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You must come to Christ. You'll make a decision tonight. You maybe have already made it. I don't know, but God knows. Because your heart goes up before Him as you sit there. And right now the devil will tell you every reason under the sun as to why you're not to come to Christ. You'll have time. He said, no friend, this portion takes that away. The flood came and took them all away. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God says, learn the lesson. Such an hour that they didn't think the flood came. And it took them all away. They didn't believe the preacher. God withdrew them. No more sermons. Sinner friend, what if it was said of you tonight? For that sinner, he's heard his last sermon. Sinner, be wise tonight. It's the same one that told of the flood coming and taking them away, said, come now, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. How will they be white as snow? Because the blood of God's Lamb washes from all sin. And I don't care what your sin is, God knows it. And He says, come as you are. Repent, believe the gospel. Go home tonight saved by grace. Put your head in the pillow. Oh, you'll not know all about the book, but you'll know this. Your sins are all forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. When the end comes, that great day of separation, you'll not be in that company that go away into everlasting punishment. You'll be with the righteous. Yes, undeserving as we are, unworthy as we are, sinful as we are. But as Bunyan said, upon a life I didn't live, a death we didn't die, another's life, another's death, we rest our whole eternity. Sinner, it's time you were saved. Get to Christ tonight. Don't wait any longer. Listen to what God has said to you tonight. Some of you have been preached to maybe for years. Some of you maybe not. Maybe some of you, and again I'm a stranger, some of you maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel. I don't know. But in Acts 10 it tells us in the house of Cornelius that as Peter preached to the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost fell. They were converted. Know that that might happen tonight. That men would be saved. That men would come to Christ. That men would be wise. Young people. Older people. It's time to come to Christ. Not because I say so. But God commands you. Repent. Believe the gospel. For if you're not saved in Christ, you'll not be saved at all. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let's all pray. Maybe you're here and you are troubled. Can I urge you to make that need known after the meeting? It would be our joy to speak with thee. Speak to some of the elders here, or speak to Mr. Shields, or speak to some of the brethren. It would be their joy to open the book with you and point you to God's Lamb. Point you to Christ. Sinner, remember the words. Remember what you've heard. Be wise tonight. Father in heaven, again take that which has been of Thee. Bless it to every heart. Let all that has been of me fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But, O God, let Thy word live on and abide. Lord, spoil the strong man's goods. Bring men from darkness to light. Bring men from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God and of grace. And take them then at last to heaven, saved by redeeming blood. Hear prayer for Christ's sake. Grant grace, grant help. Lord, if there's one here and the battle's raging even at this minute, we pray for them, we plead for them, bring them through for God, and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For closing hymn, sing a couple of verses of 289. 289, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. We'll sing verses 1, 1, 3, and 5 and 7. 1, 3, 5 and 7. All those numbers. 1, 3, 5 and 7 of 289. Let's stand and sing unto God. Again, dear unsaved, make that invitation. If you want help, do seek it out. Don't go away. Get right with God tonight. May God give you grace to come. Father, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us now and then above. O Lamb of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.